the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
Ball was free, isolated no more. Almost as if there was a complete disregard for that entire situation. Still though, splendid golf. And finally, the winner, and this was a huge surprise, Phil Hogan on 20 under par. Now, big controversy here that almost saw him get disqualified from the tournament. Off the tee on the 11th hole, Hogan drove into an out-of-bounds territory. He claimed the ball merely bounced out of bounds, but kept bouncing until it bounced back in bounds. When asked how it was possible that a man of his age could hit a 478-yard tee shot, Hogan said that his connection with the ball had been particularly fulsome and profound. Officials eventually determined that his drive had indeed come to a halt in the out-of-bounds territory, contrary to his previous statement. Of course, this would have been grounds for disqualification, but an official statement said, Phil Hogan is special, so he can't get disqualified, and there is nothing you or anyone can do about it. So there you have it. Phil Hogan, congratulations. You're the Oireachtas Golf Society Tournament Champion for 2020. A huge achievement indeed. Alan Quinlan is next up, right after these.
OTB AM.
Alan Quinlan, good morning.
Morning, Owen. How are you?
Very well. Good to have you back on a Monday morning. Good to have rugby back. Saturday night is where we'll start. Pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a superb game. I think I was, like everybody else, you'd be a bit unsure how these games would start, given that both teams haven't played in such a long time, but and no crowd as well. That certainly makes a difference, and it affects the possibility of that extra bit of energy and the lift from the crowd and all that kind of stuff. So it was a great match. I think fair few mistakes and a little bit of rustiness, but the intent and energy out of all the players was fantastic, and some of the quality of play was brilliant as well.
Bit of needle as well.
Leo Cullen.
Sorry, Ger.
Leo Cullen said he was a bit surprised by Munster's decision to kick it out at the end. What did you make of it?
I was surprised myself, I think. But look, you risk running it out there, Ger. You take away that bonus point. Munster would have known that Scarlets had got a bonus point win against Cardiff and had closed the gap to 4 points. So that point might be really important for him to make the semi-final. I think with Glasgow getting beaten, Edinburgh winning, Munster had to win the game to hope for, that to avoid Leinster. So I suppose in hindsight, you don't want to go throwing risky passes around your own 22 like that and give an intercept try or something, or lose the ball and get that point taken away from you.
In a weird way, what it does is it says that actually we'll be happy to see you again in the semi-final. There's an immediate reaction. It's like, they don't back themselves to do it. It's like, well, actually, the other decision is that they're backing themselves to come back here and play Leinster again in the semi-final, knowing everything that they've learned from this game and thinking, okay, we've seen what you've given us and we're going to be back here.
Yeah, I think they can take a lot out of it. I think, look, both sides will look back at the game, Ger, and think they made mistakes. I think you could probably see the Leo Cullen was frustrated, I suppose, that it was so close in the end. And the last 20 minutes, Munster showed a lot of character, in fairness. It had that feeling when it was 24-13 that, in 57 or 8 minutes, that Leinster were going to kick on and win by 15, 20 points. And that's what probably he'll be disappointed with. And bar JJ Hanrahan missing, he had a really good performance, missing that conversion at the end. It could have been a draw. And Munster were pushing there before Devin Toner intercepted a pass, trying to force a penalty. And, they put themselves in a position to, get themselves back into the game with some superb rugby when you think they were dead and buried, given the injuries to Snaeman and Klein and Dave Kilcoyne and stuff like that, which would have been a bit of a hammer blow for them to deal with. And then the quality of Leinster, the James Lowe try was superb, the quality of that. And, Munster had a lot of possession, they had a lot of territory, and unfortunately, they just weren't able to capitalise and be ruthless there. And I think the try just before half-time was a real critical moment for both sides and gave Leinster that bit of confidence and belief of where they're at, how good they are, how they can control the tempo of games. And it just deflated Munster a little bit. So Yeah, I think Munster will be confident that they can, if they fix the mistakes and errors, that, you know, they're pretty close. They're a little bit closer. But then, you know, part of me just thinks Leinster probably weren't ruthless enough there, and maybe that's down to not playing for a while. You know, Leinster are still the best side in Europe, and they have that quality, and they can, you come up with big plays when they need to. And but Munster can take a fair little bit about it and out of it. And the biggest thing is probably the character and some of the tries they scored, the two Conway tries and the Earls try. And, you know, they probably need to create more opportunities and get more line breaks. Didn't get enough of them, but Chris Farrell was superb. Dialinde was really good as well. And so they can build on that, I think.
Yeah, I thought their backs were great. And I thought that you can kind of begin to see that their ambition is to be a different team than the team that we've seen in recent years. But let's talk about the injuries, because obviously they had a huge impact on the game. There's a real fear for Snyman afterwards, and I think Van Graan was you know, very clear that they're very concerned about the seriousness of that injury. Looked like he blew out his knee. Was that just like a complete freak? Was there something technical in that? Like, it was the first competitive lineout I think that they'd had. And, you know, was there a rustiness? Is there any of that was a contributor factor?
No, I think it's just bad luck, really. I think I saw on social media some people were giving out about the lift and that they'd let the players lifting had let go of Snyman. But he brings his right leg up and kind of swings it up into the air. The knee comes up and then his left leg is in that straight position. And he came down from a fair height there and landed on that left leg. And for me, straight away, it just looked like when you come in that straight position, it's either your posterior cruciate or your anterior cruciate. The anterior cruciate, obviously, is the more serious one that can put you out for 6, 7, 8 months. Who knows? So there was nothing in it that it was just it's just freakish. This guy has played for I watched him for the last 3 or 4 years, and he's hasn't even picked up a soft tissue injury. He is a bit of a freak, and in a good way for him. He's very robust. So some of those kind of injuries are just freakish, and it just, I don't know. From a Munster point of view, he's potentially gone for 6 or 7 months now if it's confirmed that it's the ACL. And it's just a bloody disaster for them, really, because he's such a good player, I think. And he's someone that can really expand the team's game plan with his carries and his ability to get over the line, and his footballing ability to offload as well and get through the tackle because he's so big. So it definitely upset their flow and their ability to use him productively throughout the game and for him to make inroads for them. So it's a freakish injury. That's just, I don't know, it's the curse of signing. Being a new signing, I think they've had very poor luck in the last few years with some of the signings. And but it's something you can't control. It's part and parcel of it. Players get injured. And I just think you could feel that sigh of despair, yeah, when it happened everywhere. And it's a pity. It's a pity for them. But they've got to dust themselves down now. And it's not even this season, Ger. I think it's the finish of this season, because, look, it's going to be tough even with Snyman and Dialinde and Munster playing well. To beat Leinster and win a Pro 14 was always going to be tough, but it's the European campaign, and it's trying to build momentum going forward and integrating some of the young players and just get that real feel-good factor and getting Munster to look like a serious threat. And you take someone like him out of the team now for possibly a couple of months, and it's massive for them.
Well, their defensive lineout would have been one of the best defensive lineouts in Europe when you think how well it performed even after he went off. I thought Omani defending the lineout was sensational, particularly when Leinster were putting a bit of pressure on. And it's heartbreaking for him, and it's heartbreaking for Munster generally. Dialinde, I thought, brought an incredible bit of spice and spark to it, and went after, face-to-face, went after Johnny Sexton, and you could hear them kind of shouting at each other. And you know, that's no harm in these matches.
No, it's not. I think he probably didn't get enough as much ball as probably Munster people would have liked to have seen, but ran a lot of decoy lines and allowed Chris Farrell to get his hands on the ball a little bit more, which was, you know, obviously Robbie Henshaw and Gary Ringrose were very, very, and Johnny Sexton acutely aware of how strong and how good D'Alinde is. And it did give a little bit more space to Chris Farland. They're two powerful centres and will give Munster a lot of options going forward. His aggressiveness and his enthusiasm at the breakdown and that little bit of bite that you want in players, that's willingness to fight for everything, make the tackle, reload, get back on your feet, counter-ruck. Possibly people might think they're insignificant moments, but they're big moments for a team, and they kind of set a really kind of good standard of the aggression and the competitiveness that you want in players. And Leinster have shown that in the last number of years, that those little sparky moments, that little bit of aggression at the breakdown, that body language that you have to show the opposition that you're going to keep fighting and fighting for everything. And I think that's what Munster need. And not just is he an absolutely outstanding player, but he is really, really competitive like that. And I think one of the first breakdowns he went into, he forced that turnover. And he's going to be a very, very important player for them, and really good hands as well. And I think, you know, I kind of looked at the end, the pass back inside from JJ Hanrahan, and when Devin Toner did brilliantly to intercept the ball to really kill the game. That pass should have went out to D'Alinde. He was kind of one-on-one with Gary Ringrose. And he's not going to run past Gary Ringrose, but he's going to get a chance to build a bit of momentum, try and get a soft shoulder, get into a bit of space and hold on to the ball. But I thought he was really, really good. Chris Farrell obviously got man of the match and was superb, and Andy Farrell would be absolutely delighted with that. But it was test match intensity at times, which was very impressive from both sides. And like I say, both Leinster and Munster will look back at the game and they'll be a little bit frustrated at times. But Munster had more possession and just weren't clinical enough. And Leinster then, when they had the opportunities, just showed how good a side they are and how difficult they are to beat and wrestle the control off.
Munster's kicking game was great. And part of it was so well pressurised on Leinster. But then also it looked like Jordan Larmour under the high ball was not as strong as you would want somebody in his position to be. So I wondered if that might actually open up an opportunity for us to think about the back three in an Ireland perspective. And actually maybe his best position is on the wing as opposed to a fullback. Because there was a conversation yesterday from Johnny Murphy where he was making the point that actually Stockdale might be a better fullback than he is a winger in terms of his defence. And certainly that back three isn't set in stone, isn't cast in stone the way things were in the Joe Schmidt era.
Yeah, well, the kicking, Munster's box kicks were superb from Conor Murray. And if they're that good and on the money and there's loads of players around the ball when it's dropping down, it's very, very difficult for anybody. But I think Jordan Larmour, look, it's something that probably he'll know himself. He'd probably be disappointed that he didn't get through the air and really dominate one or two of those kicks. But they were brilliant. I don't think Jacob Stockdale is as aggressive as he can be and needs to be in the air as a fullback, as a winger. He's obviously a bigger man. But look, Rob Kearney is the man that he was the best in the game at this. Just soaring through the air. Didn't matter to him whether there was bodies around. His concentration, focus and aggression in the air was superb. So Jordan Larmour needs to get better at that. That'll be probably disappointing for them because Munster got a return on nearly all those box kicks and it was down to execution. But Stockdale probably wasn't tested as much yesterday because Connacht moved the ball a lot more and didn't kick as much as we'll say Munster did in their exit strategies. But it's a little bit of a concern, but I still think, you know, Larmour is probably your first choice fullback. But it would probably create one or two question marks about, if you play England again, will Owen Farrell be peppering the ball there and trying to target Jordan Larmour like that? Andrew Conway, probably same stature, same physique, is probably that little bit better in the air and at taking high balls than Jordan Larmour. So it's an area he still has to improve and get better at. And it could mean a little shift around in who plays full back for Ireland for sure.
One of the questions that I had kind of on that, Alan, with regards to how fluid Munster have had, or how fluid Munster had looked at certain sections of their backline at the weekend, is possibly to do with the pack as well. And I mean, the Orgies Nyman thing, obviously he goes off after 7 minutes, but for the remainder of the game, Munster looked pretty good in that department as well. Like, I just wonder if over the period of time, if options start to dwindle up front, the effectiveness of Conor Murray, the effectiveness of JJ Hanrahan, which we saw on Saturday night, are going to be affected as a result. That this hasn't necessarily been a problem of Munster's backs constantly failing. There have been issues up front and not getting the proper platform to play quick ball. And without quick ball, you're not going to beat Leinster.
Yeah, well, look, no matter how good your backline is on, you've got to perform up front and deliver quality ball and have a presence there. Their set piece was good. Their line-out was really good. They had a good, very good return. They lost an all line-out out of 13, I think. And they won all their scrums that they had. But it's the general play around the field, and it's the ability to be physical and get the better of the opposition and the physical exchanges and make big carries and stuff like that, and not just your traditional ball carries, but everybody making an impact, making tackles, defending, all that kind of stuff. And that has been a problem for Munster, that presence as an eight. They've been lacking a bit of a physical presence with issues they've had with injuries, and you bring someone like Snaiman in, and if you put Snaiman and Klein in the second row and bring Tadhg Byrne into the back row with Stander and O'Mahony, well, you've a back five then of very aggressive, powerful footballers and a real physical presence there. And I think the reality of trying to have the ability to beat someone like Leinster or win in Europe or win trophies, that's the kind of standard you have to get to on. And I think that's where Munster are trying to get to. You know, Stephen Larkham has done a good job, and you can see the shape of the back line is and the accuracy is a lot better, and they're looking to try and create things and run good lines and stuff like that. But it doesn't matter if you're forward pack, you've got to win or at least get parity and get quality ball. And probably the last 20 minutes, Munster started the game really well. And I thought the most impressive thing for me is the Munster of old would have kept chipping away for that first try, picking and going, picking and going, picking and going. But the communication and the ambition to move those couple of passes, to put Conway clear and just he sails in, scores that try, that's something Munster probably wouldn't have done the last number of years. So it's having that ability to look up and see where space is communicated and actually have the confidence to sometimes, if the opposition are all bunched in and you suck the defence in, is to put those three passes through the hands and score the try. And I've been in the commentary box so many times in the last number of years shouting, just two passes, and I'll be a try. And then they keep picking and going. And in fairness, you know, traditionally Munster have been very strong at that, and they have scored a lot of tries. But in crucial times, they've been turned over, knocked the ball on, and it deflates everyone. So, but going back to your original point, of course, they've got to be more competitive up front, and there's a lot of good players there, and it's about them really having a presence as eight and an impact off the bench as well.
Yeah, and there will be an impact off the bench as well, because, you know, Tommy O'Donnell and O'Donoghue and a couple of others are going to be on the bench for that. I did want to ask you about two final quick points before we wrap. How amazing were Connacht, and what's the potential, what's the ceiling for Ryan Baird? Because he looked pretty good catching the ball over his head, Gaelic football style, soft hands for the pass for the try. He was pretty impressive.
Yeah, he was superb, Ryan Baird. And he's another James Ryan type player. All action, full of quality, great skills. He can run with the ball, pass, offload, all that kind of stuff, and huge work rate. So I think, you know, for Leo Cullen to put him in there like that, obviously they've seen a lot of him in pre-season and in the Pro 14, you know, scoring three tries against Glasgow before rugby stopped. He's a superb player. Absolutely brilliant. And he's being pushed in there now, and he looks like he's really enhanced his reputation, and he's top quality, and it's great for Irish rugby. I think he'll learn from that. And he looks like a player who's just going to develop and get better and better. And and that's brilliant for Leinster and Irish rugby. Connacht, they were superb, I think. Obviously, a little bit less pressure on them, that it's a free pass for them, really, if you like. They can't make the semi-finals. Ulster, I think, and Dan McFarland said this, probably looked at the Glasgow getting beaten by Edinburgh and just dropped their mentally. That affected them a little bit. I thought they were very, very poor, Ulster. They had glimpses and patches here and there, but Connacht are a team you want to watch, and just the ambition, and they play with a side that they play like a side who have a free pass, and that's so admirable. And I thought John Porsche was outstanding. Marmion was outstanding. Jack Carty looked very good as well. And the quality of the ball that they got, and their ambition to move the ball, was superb all the time. But it's no surprise, because that's the way Andy Friend probably wants him to play and needs him to play. And the way they can trouble teams is trying to offload the ball and look for width all the time. So it was a dry day. The ball was dry, and they executed very, very well and were fully deserving. So they're brilliant to watch. They were outstanding, but Ulster were poor as well. And I think Dan McFarland has a few issues. Obviously, his injuries and some of his real key players are probably not going to play in the next couple of weeks. But there's, you know, Connacht were brilliant.
Alan Quinlan, great stuff. Chat to you later in the week.
Cheers, lads.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.